U.S. Customs and Border Patrol searches in New Hampshire at the Canadian border has raised concerns over effectiveness and what happens with what is found during those searches. Professor Buzz Scher joins me to discuss. This is the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about the law school and apply by visiting law.unh.edu. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire. So, Buzz, what's the purpose of these roadblocks that Customs and Border Patrol are conducting? I mean, these were happening as recently as last weekend.
That in itself is an interesting question. 3 years ago, when the Trump administration came into office, they ramped up the activities and the aggressiveness of the Customs and Border Patrol, not only at the southern borders, but in New Hampshire, too. And what they did starting about loosely 3 years ago, but a little bit, 2.5 years ago, is they set up roadblocks on I-93, primarily in Woodstock, New Hampshire, within 90 miles of the border with Canada. And they articulated the purpose of the roadblocks as looking for illegal immigration and drug interdiction. As a part of that, and I apologize for the long history, but what ended up happening is in the fall of 2017, they conducted one of these roadblocks, and they used, in cooperation with the Woodstock Police, the Federal Customs and Border Patrol, used drug sniffing and hidden body sniffing dogs when they would stop cars.
So city police were assisting?
The Woodstock, the town police. So what happens at a roadblock, to again step back even more, is they set up a process where every car that comes south on 93 from north of the Woodstock exit on 93 has to slow down and stop at the and be asked a brief number of questions by Customs and Border Patrol. While those questions are being asked, drug sniffing dogs and concealed human dogs, both same dog, were circling the car, sniffing to see if they could smell either concealed humans or drugs. Myself and the ACLU of New Hampshire and attorney Mark Sisti, graduate of the law school, filed a motion to suppress on behalf of 19 of the people who were arrested after the drug sniffing dogs smelled marijuana. In every case, it was possession amounts of marijuana, not sale amounts of marijuana. So that is the process that unfolded. And we challenged on a number of constitutional grounds the use of evidence collected by the drug sniffing and concealed human sniffing dogs in state court.
That's very weird from a jurisdictional perspective. Like, who's ultimately responsible for things that are found during those searches?
Depends.
Yeah.
Is the short, accurate, useless answer. The drugs were turned over to the Woodstock police, and they are the ones who sought to offer them in court. The core of our challenge was this, and it's a very interesting technical legal issue, but a very important one. Under the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, when a dog circles your car and sniffs to see if he or she can smell drugs, that does not count as a search under the Fourth Amendment, and therefore you get no Fourth Amendment protection, and therefore they don't need to have a search warrant, they don't need to have probable cause, they don't need to have reasonable suspicion to do that. Which is good, because when you stop someone in a roadblock, you have neither reasonable suspicion, probable cause, or a search warrant.
So right. You got to compensate somewhere.
Under federal law, it's fine to do what they're doing. But under the New Hampshire state constitution, equivalent of the Fourth Amendment, Part 1, Article 19, a sniff by a dog on the outside of a car counts as a search and gets you Article 19 protection, and you are required to have reasonable suspicion before you can have the dog circle the car, which they didn't when they had these dogs sniffing the car. So if you applied the New Hampshire Constitution to the case, the evidence would be suppressed and the cases would be dismissed because it's the only evidence. If you applied the U.S. Constitution to the case, because it was federal as well as state officials doing it, then the case could go forward. And that's the core issue that we litigated. We also litigated an additional issue, which is you can't, the U.S. Constitution, as interpreted by the U.S. Supreme Court, says you can do suspicion-free immigration roadblocks within 90 miles of an international border. Interestingly, every place in New Hampshire is within 90 miles.
Minor details.
It includes the ocean, too. So
it's all the entirety of New Hampshire, Vermont and New Hampshire, basically, are within it.
Pretty much. If they're doing an immigration checkpoint or roadblock, that under the federal constitution, they're allowed to do that. But under the federal constitution, there's pretty good law that says you can't do that when you're looking for drugs. So interesting. So one of the other issues became,
and this wasn't ATF. It was
Customs.
It was
Border
Customs.
Yeah, Customs and Border Patrol. So another issue became, did this, even if you apply federal law, did the drug sniffing dogs in their drug sniffing capacity go beyond federal law? Now, what was interesting at the hearing, among many other things, is the testimony from the two Customs and Border Patrol dog handlers is that each of them had their dogs for 2 years, that they were trained both to sniff out drugs and concealed humans. When asked, what is the science behind dogs being able to sniff out concealed humans, they said, we know of none. Then when asked, how do you know that the dog is not sniffing out a non-concealed human versus a concealed human? We don't know for sure, but they seem to be able to do that. That was the quality of the testimony about concealed humans' dogs. Most importantly, over the 2 years, each of them had been handling their dogs. They had never sniffed out a concealed human. That was the litigation. I mean, there's other issues, but that was the litigation we engaged in over the course of a full day of hearing in Plymouth Circuit Court. And the Plymouth Circuit Court judge in September of last year said, this is unconstitutional in every way you have argued that it is unconstitutional. So occasionally they're using the dogs, but if they find drugs, they're simply taking the drugs away from them and they are not prosecuting them for the drugs. So that leaves it to now what they're simply doing is these are immigration checkpoints or roadblocks, and they're not particularly efficient. If they stop 500 cars, they're getting somewhere around 15 to 20 hits.
Yeah, it's, you really see the complaints from residents and tourists in the comments on any news article regarding this.
Yeah, it's a tremendous imposition, and they do it on holiday weekends. As if you're going to immigrate into the country from Canada.
Yes, you're going to do it on tourism.
You're going to do it on weekends when there's
quadruple police presence and
when they are doing
patrol.
And when they are, you know, up front that they're doing these roadblocks. Right. So that's the much of the story. Now in Vermont, they were doing this in Vermont, and Vermont's senators and representatives complained to Customs and Border Patrol, and that they're now limited to do it within 20 miles. Even though under federal law, you can, interpreting the Fourth Amendment, you can do it under 90 miles, they are limited to within 20 miles of the border.
Did Border Patrol fight this?
I think it was a deal negotiated.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Senator Patrick Leahy is a very senior senator on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Mm-hmm. My guess is it was negotiated. Our senators and representatives, so far as we know, have done nothing to try and get the same deal.
Yeah, they've been really quiet on all this.
They've been completely quiet on all of this. And it's, as an advocate, which, mm-hmm. you know, is been my involvement in this, along with the ACLU and Mark Zusty, as an advocate, it just, it's a, what everyone thinks about immigration, boy, this is a waste of resources. But they got the money, so they do it.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have the money to do this under the Obama administration because the Obama administration didn't fund the Customs and Border Patrol office in Vermont, which covers the region at these high levels. But as soon as Trump came into office with his immigration agenda, he dumped a whole bunch of money on Customs and Border Patrol. And so they got the money to do it. So let's do it.
Yeah, that's been a missing piece of all this. Everyone, all the news has been covering the with all the controversy with all the people coming from South America and Central America and filling up their stations down there.
Yeah, there's really little evidence that there is a ripple, let alone a wave of illegal immigrants entering the U.S. for the first time from across the Canadian-U.S. border. It's just very little evidence of that, if any. And so the people they're picking up are overstaying their visa, people like that, people who've been back and forth. And
it's just like with people coming from the South, usually they're coming in via airports and things like that. They're not coming in via car over the border.
So therein lies this. It's an ongoing saga, you know, really. The effort now is to keep this in the news so that our U.S. senators and U.S. representatives starts to pay attention to this in a way that it's not a real heavy lift. They did it in Vermont. Why can't we do it in New Hampshire? At least reduce it. So let me put it this way. When you're stopping people within 90 miles, many of the people you're stopping are just internal New Hampshire people who are, got on in wherever and got off and came through somewhere north of Woodstock and came through the roadblock at Woodstock. Within 20 miles, you're more likely to get, if you're going to get people who are illegally immigrating from Canada to the U.S., you're going to get all those people at 20 miles, and you're going to have a far less imposition on people who are just going about their New Hampshire business.
I'm going to include links in the episode description for a podcast I did a few months ago with adjunct professor Kathy Chesley, where we discussed the asylum process and the migrant crisis on the southern border for anyone that's interested in learning more on what's going on that end of things. But I'll also put links to a couple articles that Buzz was quoted in the Concord Monitor, where some of this was discussed previously. Thanks for listening to the UNH Law Podcast. Learn more about us by visiting law.unh.edu or following UNH Law on social media. Be sure to comment and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or Spotify. Opinions discussed are solely the opinion of the faculty or host and do not constitute legal advice or necessarily represent the official views of the University of New Hampshire.